Hello, everybody. This is Robert Pandia with Give a Shift. Having a whole lot of fun doing these podcasts, and we've had interest come in from all kinds of folks to have conversations and talk about motorcycling and the industry and that sort of thing. And I got a buzz a little while ago from an old friend of mine, Leslie Previsch, who is working with Strider Bikes. And she asked if I would be interested in chatting with Ryan McFarland, who is the founder, president, I think you're the king, the emperor of Strider Bikes. And Strider Bikes out of South Dakota. Ryan, thanks very much for spending some time talking to us today.
You bet. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to this.
Yeah. So Strider is a balance bike. And as we're talking to an industry audience here, I'm wondering if maybe you could just give us a 30-second pitch as to what is a Strider product, in case somebody just doesn't know.
Right, right. The Strider bike is a balance bike, and a balance bike is simply the most basic two-wheeled riding vehicle you can have. So no engine, no pedals. You simply stand over it and push it along by walking or running. So it's two wheels, a seat, and a handlebar. And the propulsion is simply walk or run. So you can kind of imagine Fred Flintstone on a bicycle. This is it. The beauty of it is that it focuses on the primary skill that everyone needs to have to ride either a bicycle or a motorcycle, and that's balancing on two wheels.
And that you actually set that up because of a history with your son, right? You wanted your kid to ride. Can you give us the quick story of how the product was invented?
You bet. My quick background is been riding motorcycles since I was a little kid. My dad was a Yamaha dealership, so I grew up around dirt bikes. Avid mountain biker as well. And when I became a father, was just super excited and eager to get my little boy riding, maybe overly eager. At 2 years old, I had the tricycle and training wheel bike and even the little Yamaha 50 with training wheels already. And he's just two. And what led me to this was really watching him interact with all of those traditional methods of learning to ride and realizing that they're not focusing on the primary skill, which is how to balance it on two wheels. Also realizing that those are all, in most instances, even though they look small, they are too big, too heavy, and too complex for a child at 2 years old that's maybe 20 pounds and has a 12-inch inseam. And so I started tearing into his little bike and basically stripped it down to where it was light enough for him to really have good control of. It was small enough for him to feel confident on. By the time I was done, it was stripped down to about a basic frame, two wheels, seat, and a handlebar. With an 11-inch seat, and he could get on it all by himself and ride around really not just on concrete, but wherever his legs would take him. And it became evident very quickly that I had hit on really that fundamental skill that he was needing that would carry over into everything, into a bicycle and into a little dirt bike as well. It also allowed him to ride on all kinds of terrain. So at 2.5 years old, he's riding some of my motorcycle trails out in the field and in the woods and having a great time. He's not restricted to the concrete. The bike is so light, he can take it anywhere and have a great time on it. So it's really connecting him to the joy of riding at a super young age.
Now, I'll tell you, I told Ryan this story before in a prior conversation, but the first time I saw a Strider, I was visiting my friend Colin Edwards at his house in outside of Houston, and he's a MotoGP champ, of course. And of course, his son Hayes is going to have some of that skill set just built in, right? I mean, he's the son of a king, right? So he's going to know how to do that. But I start watching this kid ripping around on this bicycle thing that I'd never seen before, and it was one of your early Striders. And he was actually hustling around so fast, and he'd wedge his foot between the back tire and the frame to lock up the back tire and sort of hack it into the corner. And I thought, holy smokes, that what a cool thing that is. And that was me as a non-parent going like, that is really awesome. And I thought, just because it was Colin, I thought, oh, maybe that's something he picked up in Europe and brought over or whatever. And it turns out that you guys are going gangbusters. How many units have you sold? Are you free to say that?
You bet. We're pushing 1.9 million units sold now. We started the company in 2007, and it literally was a Saturday afternoon project in my garage to build this bike for my son, with no intent to build a company around it. I just wanted to get my son riding with this vision of him someday, going on motorcycle adventures with me. I had another business at the time. So that wasn't on my radar at all. It was just simply a pure desire to get my son riding and figuring out what would be best to accelerate that. And what really happened is the next year, as he rode this bike, he became so mobile on it, just like fundamental mobility. So when you have a little kid, you either end up pushing them around in a stroller or carrying them because they dawdle along. Well, this completely changed that. He was so mobile at 2 years old that he was traveling, faster than we could walk, and going, literally a mile or two was no problem for him. So it basically retired our stroller, and we would take this little bike everywhere. And he would gather so much attention by parents. Strangers would come up to us and stop my wife and I and ask questions about this bike and our son. And I'd never seen anything like that. Couldn't believe how mobile he was and how good he was. And so really realized there was a business opportunity there. About a year later, I started building some prototypes that I could move into production, and started the company. And then the first 2 years, it literally was me working evenings and weekends while I still owned my other business. And about the second year in, it was starting to take off to where I hired a couple employees and sold my other business and moved over to this full time. And so really the last 8 years is when it's been really pushed hard. And we passed 1.8 million bikes just the end of last year. And we're planning to sell over 400,000 units this year, and they actually have a strong resale market. Believe it or not, it's a little kid's toy, but there's a big resale market because they're so durable on Craigslist and everything. So when I really look at that whole turnover, I would say we've easily taught over 3 million kids how to ride on two wheels. And I mean proficiently ride on two wheels with skills that will carry over to bicycling and motorcycling at an age that's never happened in human history before. I mean, these are kids that at 4 years old, which is maybe an entry point, a realistic entry point to get on a little PW50 or an Ausset or something like that. At their fourth birthday, they've spent half of their lifetime balancing on two wheels. They totally get steering and counter steering. It is so ingrained in them that I have no doubt that future champions, national and world champions and Olympians of bicycle and motorcycle sports will say, I started on a Strider when I was two, or I started on a Strider when I was a year and a half old. And riding to me is as natural as walking.
I think
That's
that
what happened.
you have definitely made the tool that those spongy little brains are going to be able to adapt to quickly, that
Yeah,
they
yep.
will have a it's just going to be part of their DNA in the same way it would be with a kid who is the son of a world champion. So let's connect that to motorcycling. I know that they're a big part of our frustrations and challenges in the motorcycle industry has been getting new blood in, and clearly this is something that is a big connection for you because you're not just coming at this as a bicycle industry person. You're coming at this as a motorcyclist and really wanting to create a bridge between the two. Is that right? So tell us a little bit about that sort of agenda to increase our two-wheel proficiency with our kids.
Well, for me, I think one of the things that I really, I guess, took to heart in the development of this bike was I started out with a bike that had pedals, and when I got to really trying to fit it to my child, it became obvious that I had to take the pedals off it, and there was this moment of, well, is it still a bike anymore? And actually, I kind of think that was a moment that really set me free to see the big picture, because when I got over this hurdle of having pedals be part of the definition of a bike, and really realizing that whether it's a balance bike or a mountain bike or a dirt bike or a street bike, you know, with without motors, with without pedals, none of that really matters. The heart of riding is that ability to balance on two wheels and to lean and steer and counter steer and have that skill. And whether you're a 2-year-old on a balance bike or you know, GP pro, it's that same skill that connects us all the way through. And when I kind of had that revelation, it really made me think, why are these industries at odds with one another? You know, bicycling is dependent on motorcycling, and motorcycling is dependent on bicycling. They have technology that crosses over back and forth. They have people that cross over back and forth. You know, how cool would it be if people would have this perspective that, hey, anything on two wheels, whether it's moved by a little kid walking or running, or whether it's powered by electricity or gasoline or a pedal system, it's all riding and it's all on two wheels. And makes me think, how cool would it be if our trade shows actually combined? I mean, I go to the bicycle trade shows, and I go to the motorcycle trade shows, because we really work in both industries. And I'm thinking, man, if they would combine, they could just have this massive presence, not only from a trade perspective, but from an advocacy voice and everything. It could be just amazingly powerful. But for some reason, there's just this divide between the two, that even I wasn't really bridging until the development of this bike, and I had to remove the pedals from this little thing, and it gave me clarity into what riding and riding enthusiasts are all about. And that's the feel of balancing and riding on two wheels, however you make it move.
So
So
you have had some outreach into power sports. Obviously, as you said, you've been at the IMS shows. I've seen demo events where there's been Striders there. You have been doing some work concurrently with the Motorcycle Industry Council at the Monster Energy Jams. And that is something that they're doing a program where they are putting kids on bikes on the and giving them a opportunity to ride. You know, a little PW50 or that type of motorcycle, small motorcycle. But you're doing a similar program with the Strider. Is that in partnership with the MIC? Is that are they embracing this, or are you having challenges connecting with the motorcycle industry?
Yeah, I would say we have more challenges than anything. And it's motorcycle and bike industry. The industry people, a lot of times I feel like the people deepest in the industry are the ones that have the blinders on, or they're just so deep into it, they don't see some of the bigger picture that needs to be addressed. And so, you know, we're a little bit more out there on the fringe, but I guess maybe it gives me a perspective that maybe is missed by some of the industry folks. Not trying to take anything away from them. I'm sure they have insights into the deeper part of the industry that I'm not aware of. But what I do know is, when there's been a 21% decline in the number of kids that know how to ride pedal bikes in the last 10 years, That's a startling statistic that will impact motorcycling. And I'm not sure that it's really even on their radar. Think about that. A 21% reduction in the number of kids who even know how to ride a bicycle. And what we have to understand, this isn't, I'm not talking about bicycling right now. I'm talking about the future of motorcycling. If kids don't ever learn how to ride a bicycle, they're never going to pick up motorcycling. I mean, learning to ride a bicycle is a stepping stone, really a necessary stepping stone into motorcycling. And so we've got a major chunk of the population that's no longer taking that step, and it is going to impact motorcycling in a big way. You know, if you look at Motorcycle Safety Foundation, the very first requirement to be able to take one of their courses must know how to ride a bicycle. And so this is a very basic numbers game right here. If we don't somehow turn around the bicycling decline, the motorcycling decline is going to be dramatic. So
And you
to
have
me,
had some
that's
partnerships with a couple of OEMs who licensing deals or whatever. So is that has that been a decent relationship? Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
You know, we've had co-branded bikes with the majority of the manufacturers. You know, from the off-road brands, KTM, Yamaha, Honda, and on-road, so Harley-Davidson. You know, we've done Ducati and Suzuki and just a slew of different bikes. But the interesting part is, I'm not sure that those were just simple licensing deals, royalty deals. They probably would have been fine if we'd have been selling a tricycle or a bike with training wheels, all the same, which is not teaching anybody how to ride. So it was just, yes, you can put our logo on there and you can send us royalty, but I'm not sure that they understood that this is a game changer. This takes what typically was happening at 6 years old, kids learning to ride between 4 and 6. I mean, for the general population, kids don't learn how to ride bicycles until they're 6. And we're moving that down to 2 years old. We're giving them exposure on how to ride on 2 wheels and have fun on a bike. So we're preempting then all of the distractions of cell phones and online games and electronic games, and we're even preempting all of the competition that is in a child's life now that didn't used to be there, which is all of the organized sports that start at 4 and 5 years old now. So I think bicycle and motorcycle industry, and they really are tied together here because one leads right into the next. But both those industries, I still believe, have not realized that they are in a war for a child's attention. And I think they used to win the war, win these battles just by default, because you go back 20 years and there were no electronics that were stealing children's attention. And there weren't all of these organized sports. Sports didn't start until, middle elementary school at the earliest. And so really the first and most exciting thing a kid learned to do was ride their bicycle around the neighborhood. That's how they gained mobility. That's how they went and connected with friends. It was their freedom. Now kids are connecting through phones. It's they're not even they don't even have a desire to, in many instances, get out and go see the kid on the next block over,
Well, they
because
felt
they're
like they
connected
saw him
with them
because they
on
saw him
Facebook.
on their
Yeah,
phone, right?
on
That
Facebook or you're
counts.
FaceTiming.
Right.
Yeah, so that drive to get out and go is being undermined. So that's part of it. And then this whole organized sports deal is, this can't be underestimated. I mean, this didn't even exist. And now if you go on a Saturday morning and you go to a trailhead for a bike system and there's maybe half a dozen cars, you go out to the soccer field and there's, 500 cars or more. The kids at 4 and 5 years old are so plugged into organized sports programs that in some instances they're worn out by the time they get done from all these other activities that they don't even want to get on a bike or do
So
anything.
your point is that the organized sports keeps going further and further downstream age-wise, and but the Strider bike allows us to sort of jump ahead of all of that even happening and gets kids into physical activity.
So we used to win the war because kids learned to ride at 6 and nothing else started till older ages, but that's all moved ahead of, basically it moved ahead of learning to ride. And what Strider does is basically takes the lead again. So learning to ride a Strider happens at a year and a half old, 2 years old, and there's no way any other sport is going to get ahead of us again. Now riding is once again the first thing that a kid falls in love with. And if you can get them hooked early and you can give them great experiences, which they find on this bike because they're not restricted to the sidewalk, the flat, boring sidewalk, they can go anywhere on this, off-road, to the skate park, doing tricks and ramps and jumps and all sorts of fun things that engages them mentally as well as physically and gets them hooked before anything else comes in. So even when those other sports activities come into play and even when they start playing with some of the electronics and everything, we will have had a strong connection with them already that hopefully will stay with them even through those other distractions and will hopefully stay with them for life then as they move on to bicycle and motorcycle. They'll have the core skill and the I guess the joy and love and appreciation of how much fun riding is that will hopefully encourage them later in life to get on a bicycle or a motorcycle or both frequently.
And
So,
I'll
but
give you
it,
guys credit. You even went further downstream from that by adding a rocker accessory for your smallest unit, right?
you bet. Yep, we actually sell what we call the baby bundle, and it's a rocking base that the bike bolts into. And this isn't just a cute little thing. This is a game changer once again. Because kids at 6 months old, 6 months old, they're not even walking yet, climb up on this thing and play on this bike, and they're getting connected to a bike. They're bonding with this thing. They understand it's theirs. They're having fun with it. They can't even talk yet, and they're already connecting fun with a bike. And then when they're about 15 months, 18 months old, you unbolt the bike, which they've been on for half of their lifetime, once again. And now it's free, and they ride on down the hallway and around the living room. And the next big thing is, holy cow, I can take my bike outside now, and we can go around the yard and down the sidewalk and into the neighbor's place and
What does
whatever.
that do for the family dynamic? If all of a sudden this kid is ripping around and mom and dad are trying to keep up with the kid, at a certain point they're going to decide to jump on two wheels as well, right?
Absolutely. And we get those testimonials sent in to us all the time because if a kid has started that young, by the time they're three, a parent can't keep up with them on these little bikes. It would be a full run to keep up with a 3-year-old that's proficient on a Strider. And so we're getting testimonials sent in from parents saying, geez, my husband and I just went and bought bicycles. We haven't ridden bicycles for whatever, 15 years, but we can't keep up with our kid anymore. And so, they're out there buying bicycles. And again, bicycles are the first step to motorcycles. And then we've got little kids because we celebrate riding so much and we have races and we sell jerseys and all the social media and we feed in Strider graduates who are now racing mini motocross and everything and BMX and all that. Pretty soon these little kids are saying, I want to try a BMX bike, and then I want to try a dirt bike. And so the kids start driving this. So we've got parents who've never set foot in a motorcycle store going in there now because the kid can't stop talking about a dirt bike, and they're 4 years old or they're 5 years old, but they've been riding around on a Honda co-branded Strider. And they see a Honda sign was as they are driving to school every day or whatever. And the kid keeps pointing out, hey, that's the same logo that's on my bike. Let's go in there. So,
it's interesting to me that that ends up being a licensing thing where you're turning around to them saying, hey, we want to put your logo on our Strider bikes. And of course, then you have to pay them. And they're not really seeing it as that
right.
sort of ingrained opportunity to like kind of get inside the kid's head with a brand. And I guarantee you, a kid who goes to their first motocross race, if he's been on a, a KTM Strider or a Honda Strider, he knows exactly who to cheer for, right?
Right. Yep. Absolutely. So, I mean, really, if you really look at the big picture out of this, this should be reversed. They should be paying us for developing a rider that I am going to turn over into their brand, and they're going to, potentially earn tens of thousands of dollars off a little rider that we created who could just as easily have done nothing but play on an iPhone and go to soccer practice and never swing a leg over a bike.
It strikes me that there's an opportunity with the American Motorcyclist Association, with the USMCA, the Motorcycle Coaching Association, with Total Lee Parks and Total Control Riders, and some of the other training organizations out there. That if people are out there riding, if a kid is involved in a USMCA program to learn how to ride dirt bikes, there's a good chance that they have a younger brother or sister hanging
right.
out who might want to throw a leg over a Strider and emulate their older brother, right?
Yep, absolutely. So
it strikes me that there's opportunity, certainly, and I would encourage our industry listeners to let's figure that out. Let's, Ryan, maybe we can work together and figure out a program where there is a way to deliver a whole bunch of these things, and really embed it and get those kids riding. I think the people who are closed-minded about this are probably looking at, what's my return after 2 or 3 years, but this is really something that is going to be generational in its impact. And
right.
I think I would also say that if a little kid learns how to ride and riding becomes part of their life, it's not going to be 100% of kids, but, just say 15-20% of these 2 million kids that are going to be on these Strider bikes by the end of the year. If 15% of those kids end up being motorcyclists through the course of their life, and then they express to their parents as they get older, hey, dad, let's go for a motorcycle ride together. And dad, maybe Generation X dad, goes, I'm going to learn how to ride a bike. I didn't do that when I was younger, and I'm going to learn how to do that, and I want to go for a ride with my kid. I think you're hitting at such a foundational level that it's hard for many people in the industry who typically have a 3-month to 6-month window that they work in to see that long-term picture. So is there any one thing you can think of that's going to really resonate with the motorcycle industry to pay attention to Strider and to reach out to you guys and incorporate Strider into a training program?
Yep. Well, I think you are right. I mean, the big picture here is this is a huge security for the industry in the years to come. But I do think that it plays into their profitability and success in the short term in another scenario that oftentimes plays out. And I'll kind of run through this real quick. But so you've got a dad who is a rider right now, And he is a good customer, and he is spending tens of thousands of dollars on motorcycles and gear and everything. And he's kind of where I was. He's got maybe a 3-year-old at home, and he's super excited about this. And he puts that little boy on a 50, but the little boy really doesn't know how to ride. He doesn't know how to balance. Training wheels are a bad solution. And mom is leery about this whole thing. And she says, I don't know. He's awfully little, but dad's excited and gung ho. Takes him out, and the little boy gets hurt, scared or hurt. And mom says, I told you so. We're not doing that again. And we're going to take up soccer instead. And then dad's motorcycles he's feeling guilty now. So he's committing every Saturday to go to the soccer field instead of the trailhead. And pretty soon he's looking at those motorcycles that never go anywhere collecting dust. And he says, you know what? I'm just going to sell those. Maybe I'll get back into it, 10 years down the road or something. And at that moment, it's like, holy cow. Now the impact becomes very real to the dealer, because this moment in time when this little kid had his first riding experience, there's tens of thousands of dollars on the line in that moment. If it goes well, holy cow, it's like open the faucet. Dad's buying little dirt bikes, a new one every year because they keep outgrowing them, buying gear because they keep outgrowing that. Pretty soon, mom doesn't want to be left behind. So she says, hey, why don't you get me a little, 125 or something, or an ATV so I can go along, and dad's all into it. So he's replacing his bike. So that's the path it can go down. But if it goes bad, not only do you not get the little kid and mom and siblings potentially, but you lose dad. It's a dramatic swing, all based on whether this little kid has a good first riding experience. Now, what changes all of that is when you've got a 4-year-old who's been, or a 3.5-year-old who has been riding a Strider since he could walk, 15, 18 months old. He is so dialed in and mentally ingrained in how to balance a 2-wheeled machine. The fact that it's powered by a motor is kind of inconsequential at this point. He knows how to control and ride the machine. His first day on a PW50 is going to be a success. It's like coming up through a Strider, it ensures, almost guarantees, that the first motorcycle experience is going to be a success. And I have seen it time and time and time again. Kids that are experienced on Striders, they get on bicycles and they ride away, piece of cake, super easy. And the same thing with motorcycles, dirt bikes, whether it's little 50s or whether it's electrics, whatever it is, they get on them. You kind of show them very simply, turn this to make it go, pull this to make it stop. That's not that tough. The hard part is knowing how to control it, balance it, steer it, lean it. Well, the hard part they have, and they know by heart. So
my local power sports dealer is a Strider dealer. And you guys have, is it like 4,000 dealers in North America?
We
is
do
that
across
right?
the United States. Yep. Yeah. Yep. A good number. I mean, it's a good mix of motorcycle and bicycle.
So they set up a display, as you think that, a retailer would. It's like, oh, okay, here's the kids section, right? So the Strider bikes are there. And they happen to be a Honda dealer. So they've got the Honda branded ones over there. But they also have the CRF50 with the traditional training wheels on it. And we've all seen the commercial on TV with, super proud dad with a slip wrench in his hand, has just taken the training wheels off of his kid's bike and, taught the kid how to go down the side. That like sort of romantic, we went from training wheels, now you're all grown up. You're almost a decade ahead of what that stereotype is. And so tell me the downside of training wheels. And I've gonna have some hard-nosed power sports guys out there who are like, just put the kid on a throttle limiter, they'll be fine, just put the training wheels on and they can cruise around. What's wrong with that?
Well, training wheels really are an indication that they're on a bike that either doesn't fit or they don't have the skill set to do what you're wanting them to do. So to me, whenever I see training wheels, I feel like it's a band-aid on a core problem that's not been addressed. If a kid, if the bike is so big that they can't touch the ground and hold the bike up, and you're using the training wheels for that purpose, then they're on a bike that's too big for them. So get them the right size bike. Don't put training wheels on the wrong bike. Just get them the right bike. If they don't know how to hold the bike up and balance the bike, don't put training wheels on it for them. Teach them how to do that. Because ultimately, I mean, we don't want, our goal is not to teach kids how to ride on a machine with training wheels. So it almost sends them down the wrong path. It puts a band-aid over the core issue that actually needs to be taught, and kids can learn it. My son started riding a little Osset at 3 years old, and he never used training wheels on it. He was a proficient strider rider, and you put him on an Osset and you show him how to turn the throttle and pull the brake, and boom, he's off. I mean, he rode it the very first time. My second son wasn't even three, and he's riding an Osset around. They both started riding 50s actually at indoor motocross at 4 years old. It's just a matter of giving the kids the right sized bike for where they are in their skill and their size, and kids are more than capable. But there's more to it than that too, because when you put training wheels on a bike, you actually fundamentally change how it steers.
Yeah, you
And this
turned it
is the
into an
same whether it's
ATV,
a
essentially.
right. And a lot of people don't understand this, but it's a huge problem. And kids get stuck in this mode. And when they get stuck in this transition that they can't figure out, many times they just give up. I don't want to ride a bicycle anymore. I don't want to ride a motorcycle anymore. And what happens is, they're going down the, let's just say they're going down the sidewalk and they want to turn left. Well, when you're on a bicycle or a motorcycle on two wheels and you want to turn to the left, you start that process by turning to the right just slightly. And you put a counter steer into it, and then it creates a lean. And then after your lean has started, then you turn to the left to make your turn. And when you have training wheels on a bike and you're going down the sidewalk and you want to turn left, you just turn left. So what kids do is they practice this with training wheels. I go down the sidewalk, I turn left, I go left. They practice it over and over again. So then you take the training wheels off. What do? They go down the sidewalk, they want to turn left, they turn left, they crash to the right. Totally unexpected result. And so then they get hurt, scared, want the training wheels back on. So they go back to the training wheels. And this is like this loop that kids get caught in. And we get so many phone calls from parents that are struggling in this situation that it is real. It may not seem like a big deal, but it is very real. And we lose kids because of it. So then you get a kid who really wants to learn. So they get those training wheels back on and they practice this. They actually like mentally focus harder. Okay, I'm pedaling down or I'm throttling down this path and I want to go left. I turn left. Yep, that's exactly right. I'm going to practice it 10 times. Take the training wheels off. They do exactly what they practiced. They crash to the right. So they are not processing what's happening. The machine has fundamentally changed. And so we're like sending kids down a training path that's
It's
opposite
doomed for
of
failure at that point.
actually, it's doomed for failure. Yes. So we have kids, well, we have parents who call in at this point and say, my son or my daughter is now 7 or 8. And they have been on training wheels for 4 years now. They have tried and crashed and tried and crashed, and we practice and practice, and now it's not even fun anymore because they don't understand what's happening. And now they're old enough that they don't want to ride their bike with training wheels because their friends see them, and they don't want to ride without training wheels because they're afraid and it doesn't make sense to them. And so we're at a point where they just don't want to ride anymore. And I just think, oh, what a shame. You know, it's so easy. It's like as easy as walking if you just give them the right tool for the job and you start them out at 15, 18 months. It's just so natural and intuitive. I've seen how easy it can be and how proficient kids can be at an amazingly young age. And then I've seen the other side where we send them down this path that trains them in a, you know, the complete opposite skill of what they need. And we set them up for this tough transition where realistically we lose a big chunk of them. Yeah, it's, you know, no wonder the numbers are 20% down in the last 10 years. Yeah.
And especially when you lay that over the Generation X, where the first generation that were latchkey kids and they were told that it's okay to just stay in the house and play Atari and watch TV because that's safer,
Right.
and
Right.
Then of course they go on and raise kids, and that's where the sort of bubble wrap millennial stereotype comes around. We've seen growth in certain areas in the millennial market, and the lower end motorcycles, less expensive motorcycles. There is some level of sense of adventure out there, and I think there's some kind of rebound. Whether we want to call it an analog rebound or something like that happening, but a Strider bicycle, it could play a huge part in that. And I really encourage those of you in the industry who are listening to this interview to your gut is telling you that this is the right thing to do right now. I'm telling you that. You know it. And reach out to Strider, work with these guys, built or designed in Rapid City, some of the heart of the greatest motorcycling in the Black Hills out there for dual sport riding. I've had a chance to do that out there. It's amazing. And I would encourage the industry to pay attention to Strider, and just get in touch. They're building some great products out there, and I know that your guys' heart is in the right place, and I'd actually like to kind of wrap up this interview with that, because we have seen time and time again where motorcyclists are a strong community, and when there is somebody who needs help, motorcyclists step up quickly to help. We see that through the Ride for Kids programs, for instance, or even if it's a motorcycle shop employee's kid who gets hurt or has illness or something like that, motorcyclists will step up to help out. And you guys are doing some of the same through an education foundation, and have donated, is it $1 million in the past decade? Is that right? Can you let's close
Yep.
on that, on the
You
positive
bet.
of what Strider, as an independent company that straddles between bicycles and motorcycling, has done for positive influence, that can only get bigger.
You bet. Yeah, so I think it was in 2014, basically I made a commitment as a company to take 1% of our gross revenue off the top line. 1% of that, and just earmark it for benevolent purposes. And so that kind of set us on a course of building a pool of money to really make an impact. And we've been able to give away over $1 million worth of bikes and money to organizations that help teach kids to ride. Just last year, we took our next step, which was forming the Strider Education Foundation, which is a 501c3, whose purpose really is to put bikes and our curriculum. We've developed a step-by-step learn-to-ride curriculum into schools and organizations that are committed to teaching people how to ride, to teach kids how to ride. So that foundation is just getting kicked off. And you know, some foundations burn up a lot of your money and in overhead and everything, but basically Strider Bike Company is for 2018, I'm paying all that. There is no burden of overhead on this foundation, and we're getting bikes into the foundation at below wholesale cost. So it's like somebody puts $1,000 into there, it puts $2,000 worth of bikes delivered into a school system that's teaching kids how to ride with zero burden of overhead. I mean, we're doing everything we can to change this current path of kids not knowing how to ride. I mean, my vision with this curriculum and the foundation is to basically get a kindergarten PE program in every school across this nation that teaches kids how to ride, and they will work through. It's a 10-class program, and they can be complete novices when they start, never even having stood over a bicycle, and by the 10th class, they will be proficiently pedaling a bike on two wheels. And if and we can make that happen, and it would be the first time in history to have every kindergarten kid know how to ride at kindergarten graduation. Think what the potential for the motorcycle industry would be from there. It would be a point that has never existed before. There would be so much potential opportunity with those kids that the motorcycle industry has never even seen before. And it's at hand, and it is doable. We've got all the pieces in place. We just need to put the fuel in and twist the throttle on this program. So it's there. It's ready to go.
Well, I know that you guys have a bunch of great photographs and some inspirational stuff. In fact, I forwarded that to my mom, who used to teach kids with special needs decades ago, and she was so happy to see that. And she's been some parts of my motorcycling adventure, and she saw the inspiration just right away. And
Cool.
so I think that you guys are continuing to do great work out there. Again, lastly, I just want to encourage the motorcycle industry to get in touch with you guys. They can log on to striderbikes.com if you haven't already done that while listening to this, and see all the different models, see what they're doing for kids across the country, and see how they're fundamentally changing acceptance of two wheels. And ultimately are going to increase motorcycling. Thank you very much, Ryan. I appreciate your time today. I appreciate what you've been doing for the motorcycle industry, even though a lot of the industry doesn't quite get it yet. And perhaps this interview will help create some converts there. So thanks again for your time, and we wish you the best in the future.
You bet. Thanks for having me on and pushing this cause forward. Nothing make me happier to see a bunch of little kids ripping around on 50s out there. So,
That's the next. We're going to have the Strider motocross class doing
yeah, there we
backflips,
go.
and yeah, that's coming. All right. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to Give a Shift podcast. We're going to be having more of these as we keep marching down the path towards making motorcycling better in the future. We'll see you guys down the road.